Testing.
Okay, apologies, everybody. This is a very exciting episode because we're getting to use this new cool audio interface that you can't even see, but it's right there. Yeah. It has a big red blinky button. And that's
super fun to push. Okay, anyway. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Mindcastle, the podcast where we talk about things that we're learning and books we're reading and all kinds of fun stuff like that. Little news flash, in case you were unawares, we are also on the YouTubes. Regan and I both have our own channel, and now Mindcastle has its own channel, which is super exciting.
And we have, I think, like 2 subscribers at least.
Mom and grandma, and it's like
I'm gonna quick search.
Sometimes we do, you know, show and tell and things like that, like this button / coin that Napoleon had, you know.
No, Alexander the Great,
same thing. So if we're like talking about something and you want to see it, you can always come back and check our YouTube channel out. So anyway, in this episode, we are going to be talking about something we talked about last episode, something we touched on last episode, which is essentialism. And if you're familiar with some of the podcasts we've done about books, we have this bad habit where we like start a book and we're like, oh, this is a great idea. Let's talk about this. And like 6 episodes later, we finally finish.
The Almanac of all Ravikant has 4-part series. You should check it out, by the way. It was one of our most listened to series.
Yeah.
Not that I agree with him on most anything, but it was really interesting. Anyway,
it was pretty good.
But quick, before you move on, we don't have 3 subscribers. We actually have 21.
Dude,
which actually kind of blows my mind.
We are kind of famous.
People are paying attention on YouTube. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we're going to be talking about the book called Essentialism. And if you're unfamiliar with essentialism, we'll do a quick recap for you. And then we're going to jump into some of the concepts of that book, because it really, really is valuable and is very, very important to our lives. And something that, at least in my life, is something that I wish I had been more aware of moving forward. And so I'm really glad to finally start learning about it. So I think you'll find this really, really educational and really helpful. But Regan knows a little bit more about this. I would say I'm about halfway through the book at this point. But if you want to maybe give like a little synopsis, it's a fun word, little synopsis of essentialism, and maybe a little bit about Greg, and that he's not just some no-name guy who decided to write a book because he was, you know, whatever. So anyway, I don't know. I'll let you kind of take over from there.
Yeah. So it's, we're jumping into this book again, or at least the concepts, Essentialism by Greg McKeown. He's written several books, pretty accomplished fellow, originally from London, now in California. You know, he's been, he's been covered by New York Times and all this stuff. One of the most popular bloggers on all of LinkedIn, by the way, which is kind of wild. And global leader for World Economic Forum at one point. He's definitely been around the block and kind of hit the wall in some ways with his career and just being like, what am I trying to do here again? We had read some of that from that one chapter where he's like, he suddenly was looking at the priorities in his life and realizing the things that he was doing weren't even on the list of what he wanted to prioritize for his life. And it was this huge moment for him. And then he kind of goes through this period of reexamination. This book comes out of it really well written, really easy read. It's not super complicated, but it is stuff that maybe we know inside, but we don't actually act on, I guess is a good way of saying it. So in a very short summary, and go listen to the other episode, because at that point you hadn't actually gotten the book yet, I don't think.
I bought it on the podcast.
Yeah, you bought it on the spot. That's right. So you've maybe been reading some in a little bit, but the general gist of it is almost everything in life is noise. Do less, but do better at what you do. So instead of trying to do everything, you do a few things really well. Mm-hmm. That's the key premise. And then another key point he has, to quote page number 10, if you don't prioritize your life, someone else will.
Right.
And as in not like someone's going to come in and control you and make you a slave, but other people's agendas and schedules will end up eating your life or eating your time and schedule and things like that. So if you don't, someone will, something will. And also this whole concept of, you know, back in the day, the word priority is singular, or originally, at least the word priority was singular. Mm. And now we like to say priorities. And before you know it, you have like 20 priorities. And it's like, well, okay, now we're back to it. It's almost meaningless. Like, what is even the priority anymore?
Right.
Because we have so many. That was the basic premise. We ended up spending a lot of time on the underlying philosophy of what essentialism even is. It's very different from, say, minimalism, for example. Mm-hmm. Really key difference. So we ended up only making about 40 pages through the book. which is kind of crazy. But I think today, at that point in the book, it starts switching to more practical insights and how do you actually live this stuff out. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really interesting to see what you've come up with so far, yeah, since you've been reading this over the last couple of weeks, and where we go from there. So I just want to put this in there, in here too. But he makes a point in here where he's still defining what essentialism is, about the reality of trade-offs, mm-hmm, and how most people don't like to admit that there is a reality of trade-offs. Mm-hmm. So basically you say yes to one thing, you are saying no to something else. Yeah. If I say yes to grab lunch with a friend at such and such time, that means that chunk of time, I said no to something else that could have been in that chunk of time. Mm-hmm. And this is where people can get really in trouble, because they tend to project on their future selves more abilities and more time and more productivity and more focus than will actually be there in reality.
Right.
There's some psychological studies. I think we've talked about this in the podcast. There's some studies on this where when we're scheduling or thinking about the future, the way we look at ourselves and the way we schedule things, we project on that future self, ourselves, the same as if it was someone else entirely, and which is insane, but I totally relate. So right now I'm trying to figure out my schedule for the rest of the year. And there's this opportunity to, you know, go travel to this place because there's a nonprofit working on a thing and they're doing cool stuff and they want me to come check it out. And I'm like, oh yeah, I could easily fit that in. No problem. And so I was like, let's do this in October. Well, it's October right now. And, and I'm here in this month now. And I'm like, I'm insane for even thinking I could have fit that in this month. There is no way. Now, my present self now is saying there's just no way. But back 2 months ago when I was looking at my future self, I was like, oh yeah, my future self could totally handle that. It's not true. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes a lot of issues for people. They get spread too thin. They don't have enough time. And really, it's not taking good care of yourself, because you're not being real about your own limitations. So it's a roundabout way of saying a lot of the things he says here. But so anyway, the reality of trade-offs, and this is, I think I ended with this quote last time, but this is really important. He said, in my work, I've noticed that senior executives of companies are among the worst at accepting the reality of trade-offs, which kind of makes sense, because executives tend to be like, I can do everything. I'm type A. I could, yeah, you know, like no problem. Put it on. We'll figure it out. You know, we'll work 18 hours today if we have to. Too bad. You just can't do everything. Yes to one thing is no to something else. And you will have to choose. So that's where, I think that's where we ended it. I'm trying to remember, something like that.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. And that was part one of the book. And then it switches to part two. But yeah, do you have any response to that?
It's split up into three sections. Is it explore, eliminate, execute? Are those the three?
Really close. It's a 4-part book.
Oh, 4-part.
Part one is essence. What is essentialism? Basically. And then, yeah, part two is explore. So basically, how do we discern what we're actually going to do? And then you're right. The next one's eliminate all the unnecessary things. And then part four is saying, okay, now that we've eliminated all this stuff, how do we execute on what's left?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't really have a whole lot to add. The only thing I would mention is like this idea of trade-offs is actually really, really prominent in the book. Like he talks about it a lot, and how like trade-offs, like if you are good at trade-offs and like evaluating what you want to do, that is actually one of the critical skills of an essentialist. Someone who's really good at trade-offs and really good at realizing, okay, what matters here? What actually needs to be done? What doesn't need to be done? What am I saying no to by saying yes to this? So that's like a theme that really comes through with all of this, because we allow trade-offs to happen kind of automatically. You know?
Yeah.
You know, like you with your trip, it's like, oh yeah, like I can do that. But then you might get to this month and be like, I'm just too busy. And then you cancel it, you know? And it's like, okay, so there you had like 2 trade-offs the opposite way, and both of them were terrible. And so like, we kind of allow that to just happen by default sometimes, or we kind of goof off and whatever and procrastinate. And it's like, oh, well, I just don't have time. And then like you, instead of just saying no and actually using those 3 hours, you goofed off and did whatever. And now you actually don't have time. And so now you feel comfortable saying no because you don't have time. And like just stuff like that. It's like we kind of slide into these things. We like to slide into saying no to things or yes to things. And he's just saying like, no, get really, really good at evaluating it and look at it and be like, yes or no. And the thing that he talks about, which I have a giant you guys can't see if you're on the podcast, but I have a giant poster board. It's like, okay, it's not quite that big. It's like this big. And I stuck it, I pinned it on my wall. And now I just like write things on it that like stand out to me throughout my day, and things like quotes. A lot of it comes from this book. And one of the trade-off things is the 90% rule, which is like, if you look at a decision and you're like, how you kind of break it down, just like, what's the most important part of it? It like, is this exactly what I want? Is this exactly what's needed to do? Or is this precisely what's the most important part, or whatever? And then you rate that task that you're trying to do. And if it's, you know, 60%, 70%, 80%, he's like, no, he's like, it needs to be in the top 10%. Mm-hmm. If you're going to say yes to it, it needs to be specifically in the top 10%, above 90%. Anything less than that, and you say no to it. And so that's one of the, you know, there's just so many things in there about trade-offs that he talks about that is like really foundational as we move forward into all these things, is you have to get rid of that tendency to slide into decisions. So that's the only thing that I would add that I would say focus on, listen about, as we move forward, and remember to keep that in mind as we, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we'll touch on that a little bit. I don't know what you had in mind with moving forward, but.
So that's part one, you know, essence. What's the core of an essentialist? Mm. And then, yeah, part two, explore. And the tagline, or, well, let me just read what we've got here. So basically, how do we discern the trivial many from the vital few?
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of thoughts on this one. Because as the world has sped up and become more advanced, we have been overwhelmed with the paradox of choice, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
So many options. You go into Walmart and you're like, I'm here to buy soap. 50,000 soap options later, it's just like the overwhelmingness of choice. And that's just a very trivial example, but everything you can think of in life, like everything from like, what cell phone am I going to buy? You literally have thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, it's just overwhelming. Well, you know, it used to be, for the vast majority of humanity's history, life was pretty simple, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, you farmed, you raised your own food, you know, you had your little community of maybe 200 people, and that was it. It wasn't super complicated. Now we live in a world that's, you know, just overwhelmingly full of choice. That being said, there will be points in your life where you don't really have that many options and you actually need more options of what are good things to do with my time. That does happen. Tends to be a little more rare, but more, you know, sometimes maybe for young people, especially, they're trying to figure out career, you know, education options. In that case, my advice is different. I'm like, just try everything, but then be really quick to eliminate the stuff that doesn't fit. And that's kind of what he's getting at, is like, maybe you've tried all this stuff, but you can't hang on to all of it. So I was just talking to a friend there this last weekend. It was the same thing. He's got all these things over the years that he's built into his life that are really good things, like really positive, uplifting, wholesome things. But he's at this place where he's like, man, I'm not sure I can keep doing all of these. Because if I keep doing all of them, everything suffers because I'm spread too thin.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. The trivial many from the vital few. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of walk through it. It's like, well, what are those things? You know, what's the most important things? And then go from there. So in this section of the book, he has several that he lists. I think one of the most important, this gets really practical really fast. So here we go. Mm-hmm. People can't figure out what is essential if they are constantly on call. Which is like, oh yeah, of course, basic, right? Okay, so here's an experiment for you. Take your phone, turn it off, put it in a safe, and give the key to someone else and see how long you can make it. It's crazy what your brain will go through. You'll start going through like weird withdrawals of like, well, someone needs to get a hold of me. And like, what's happening with it? And like, what do I do with it? And you'll start becoming almost like panic. Like, it's crazy. I started doing, and maybe you won't, maybe you'll be an exception, but I mean, I started doing this, or I'll put it on silent and like, put it in somewhere else in the house and like try to see how long I can go. And it's crazy. It's like, yeah, but what if somebody needs me? Like,
I'm so important. It's
what if something happens? You know, it's been like, it's been three and a half hours. I can't make it. And then I go in there and I, you know, it's on silent. So I was like, swipe to like check the notifications. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not that important after all. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's Saturday. Like, I mean, like, it's not even a work day. What is wrong with my brain? But like, it's crazy because our brains, again, are not real. I mean, like, this technology and explosion of information is very, very new on the human experience. Even 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you didn't have near. I mean, I remember 20 years ago, Dad got his first cell phone. Mm-hmm. You remember that cell phone?
Mm-hmm. I still have it.
Do we still have it?
No, we have a second one.
His second one. I mean, this, it wasn't even a flip phone. It was so old. It didn't even flip, you know, it just had like a couple of like buttons on it. And like, all you could do was like call, basically.
That's it.
And it was 10 cents per text. So like, we went from that to like fiber optic internet and like Netflix and like everything in between. Just in that, we can easily remember a time when it wasn't that way. So our brains cannot adjust quite that quickly, usually. Yeah. And so somehow we have to figure out, how do we become unavailable sometimes? So we can actually think about what is the most important thing? Because the intention is just getting sniped from our lives all the time. So that's, maybe I'm spending too much time on that, but I think that one in particular is actually really hard for us, because we're not used to living like that.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels good to be on call all the time. People want you. It's like, ooh, super important. Woo-hoo.
I'm so important. Somebody called me and I fixed their problem. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but
every now and then they're like, just step out of that for a bit.
This is another quote. For some reason, there's a false association with the word focus. As with choice, people tend to think of focus as a thing. Yes, focus is something we have, but focus is also something we do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh.
Yep.
That's how that, you know, I just hadn't really thought of it that way before. And that was a point going back to the last episode, we talked about this, but he said this, a choice is not a thing. A choice is an action.
Yeah.
And he's saying the same thing with focus.
Mm-hmm.
Choice is not, I have a choice. It's something you, it's an action.
Right.
Same with focus. It is very possible. So one of the things, I'm actually going to make a video about this at some point, where I'm going to try these experiments, where I do try these experiments where, you know, maybe once a week or something, I'll just get out of the office and, you know, go for a hike or something, and, or go somewhere else and go to a park, say, and work on whatever it is I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible what that does to your brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Cause, and same, like, there's a lot of things like that. Motivation, you know, motivation comes after you start, usually, not before. You know, there's little things like that that we don't realize. And so we'd be like, oh, I'm just waiting for motivation to hit. I'm just like, I'm waiting. I'm not quite focused. I'm like, I need to, like, you know, go outside so I can like clear my head and get more focused. I'm like, or you could just sit down and work. Like,
yeah.
Surprise. Yeah. That's what focus is. It's not necessarily that fun. Like, sometimes focusing is just really uncomfortable and you just got to sit there and do it.
But that's why some people make their lives really busy, because then they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, be on call, running from this to that, to this to that. And I have a lot of friends like that. And it's kind of crazy to look at their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot. I'm still learning. It's almost been like, it honestly feels like a detox type process where I'm not like that. And then suddenly I look at this year and I'm just shocked at how many key things in my life moved forward that I thought would never happen. And it just looks so big. Suddenly, when I took that kind of grand detox away from running from this call to this meeting to that flight to, I mean, just, it was insanity. And there's a time for that. I mean, it was, you know, starting a nonprofit and whatever, you know, you have to have some of that, but it was to a point where it wasn't working. And I look at it now, I'm like, whoa, I moved the needle, like majorly moved the needle on things, because I kind of went through that detox process. It was almost like withdrawal symptoms. Like, it was really weird, actually.
Yeah.
So, and maybe we'll get into that story another time, but it's been quite the thing. Okay. So here, moving on here. Another point he has on back to how do you discern the trivial many from the vital few? Here's something. The sad reality is that we humans are forgetful creatures. I would even go so far as to say shockingly forgetful. Don't believe me? You can test this theory right now by trying to recall from memory what you ate for dinner 2 weeks ago on Thursday. What did you eat for dinner 2 weeks ago on Thursday?
Couldn't tell you. If I was at SMBI, I could tell you, because we had the same thing every Thursday.
That's a really good point. Or ask yourself what meetings you attended 3 weeks ago on Monday. If you are like most people, you will draw a total blank on this exercise. Think of a journal as like a storage device for backing up our brain's faulty hard drive. As someone once said to me, the faintest pencil is better than the strongest memory.
Yeah.
And man, he is on to something here. Wow. Like, when it comes to trying to discern what's what you should be doing. So one of the things, mm-hmm. I mean, you can see them plastered on my wall. Like I have monthly goals that I set and then I have weekly and all this stuff. And I'll literally just get a piece of paper and just at the beginning of the month, okay, what am I trying to do this month? And mm-hmm. actually just writing it down and okay, here's the goals. Here's what I'm trying to do. And then plaster it on the wall. Because if I don't, I completely forget. I'm like, oh yeah, I had that goal. Just totally forget. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of each month, I'll go back and review it and look at it. How did it go? And I'll do that each week. And sometimes every day too. Incredibly orienting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, use that pen and paper. It totally works. Anyways, another one that's really practical. Oh yeah, this one is like a really big deal. You know what this one is? The really practical one you mentioned.
Opportunities? That one? The whole like...
Nope. So it gets way more practical than that. Sleep.
Oh yeah. Should have known.
Sleep is just... Oh my goodness. Here we go. While sleep is often associated with giving rest to the body, recent research shows that sleep is really more about the brain. Yeah, it's insane. So get your sleep, basically, is the point. Like, it's actually kind of crazy to me. Like, there'd be some people that are just, oh, I'm so busy. I'm so overwhelmed. They're scattered all over the place. They can't figure out what to prioritize. And they're not sleeping. So like their cognitive function is lower. When you're not sleeping, your brain can't repair itself and do all the things it does when it sleeps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe the solution for them is just a good night of sleep. It'd be amazing how much it resets them. In fact, someone told me this once, if they could figure out how to put sleep into pill form and mm-hmm. you could take and get all the effects of good sleep, it would be the most valuable supplement in the history of humanity. And I was like, whoa, when you frame it like that, suddenly sleep looks pretty awesome. Yeah. And you're like, maybe I should be getting more of that. You know, yeah. So if you're out there and you're not sleeping enough sleep, it's really good for you. And his reason for this is this, it's in big bold letters.
Oh right yeah. Here.
Our highest priority is to protect our ability to prioritize.
Yeah.
That's this whole thing with sleep, writing things down. Like if you lose that ability,
mm-hmm.
not a good deal.
Yeah. Kind of like, I think it's earlier when he talks about, he's like, protect your most valuable asset. I think it's in that same chapter.
It is.
But he's like, you are your most valuable asset. So like, you know, protect it, take care of it, you know, guard your body, take care of your body, exercise, you know, like sleep, like do the foul, like nutrition, sleep, and exercise. Like those are the three, like if you nail those three, yeah, it'll change your life like pretty dramatically.
It's kind of amazing to me how people have these grand ambitions and I'm going to change the world. But like they're overweight, don't exercise, and don't sleep. Like, you're going to change your world, but yet you can't even take care of yourself.
Like your
physically.
World.
Yeah, yeah. Like physically. And I don't want to be harsh or bashing on someone, but like, I know people like that where they're just not sleeping. Their health is terrible, but like, I'm going to change the world. And it just kind of comes across as hollow, you know, and maybe I shouldn't be hard on those people. I mean, hey, it's their life. I mean, do whatever you want, but you know, you're trying to change the world, but you're eating Little Debbie's. It's just like, ooh, that's not good for you. Like if you really want to change the world, you should do everything you can to increase the quality and longevity of your life. Well, eating Little Debbie's is probably going to like shorten your life. So like not, it's not really fitting. Like you're saying you want to do this thing, but like if your lifestyle doesn't match.
Like you have to be congruent. Like it has to match, you know?
Yeah.
And what we do, I think basically like what you're saying, right, is like if what we do with our bodies and how we take care of ourselves is a large indicator of where we're going to go and what we're going to do in life and many, or like the level of which our commitment is maybe.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, so it's basically like a gauge, right? Like people can do whatever they want with their bodies. It's their choice. I'm not going to harsh on you if you choose something different than me, but like at the same time, yeah, just be consistent, I guess is kind of what you're saying.
I guess don't come to me and be like, I'm going to change the world. And then it's like, you're not even taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Like that's just something about that. Just, ooh, that doesn't sound good. You know, that's, it's whatever. I mean, again, your choice, I suppose, but oh yeah. Well, didn't we do a podcast on that sugar-coated lies?
Yes.
That was so good.
That was a good one. Y'all should go listen to it.
That was really, really fun. Yeah.
Sugar-coated lies.
Oh, we should do that again. That was fun. Yeah. Don't succumb to the sugar-coated lies. Sugar-coated lies are donuts in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Don't eat donuts. They're bad for you. Okay. They are bad for you. No, I'm not. One donut won't kill you, but anyways.
We should do one on energy drinks next.
Oh my goodness, bro. Okay. This person might be listening to this podcast, so I'm not going to say your name, but you know who you are. I was just hanging out with this young fellow a couple weeks ago, and he works a pretty, pretty aggressive, pretty hard job, like real manual labor kind of work, you know? So it often involves getting up at 4 or 4:30 in the morning, working 12, 14 hour days. And it's very physically demanding. And so, you know, he's pushing his body really hard. And I said somewhere throughout the week, I was like, yeah, you know, you have to be careful with like caffeine, for example. The daily dosage for the average adult is around 300 milligrams over the span of the day. Okay. So 300 milligrams, that's about 3-4 cups of coffee ish. A lot of energy drinks like Monster have like 300 milligrams
yeah, they do.
In one can. And this fellow heard this kind of like in conversation and he got real quiet. And then someone else who knew him was like, oh yeah, I bumped into you at the, you know, at the gas station. And man, I couldn't believe it. He was there drinking this big cup of coffee and throwing in caffeine pills into the coffee. And he kind of like, you know, got a little sheepish look on his face. And then he's like, hey, you said 300 milligrams of caffeine. And I was like, yeah, about 300. And that's over 24 hours or over a day. Like, yeah. You know, it's spread out. He's like, oh, well, sometimes I drink like 600 milligrams. It's like,
bro, your heart's about to explode.
It's like, dude, what's your heart rate like? I mean, that's insane.
Resting heart rate of 85.
Yo, that's a lot. He's like, is that bad? And I was like, I never heard that before. Like, that's pretty intense. It's like, yeah, that's not good. Not cool at all. So yeah, it was like, he'll drink a cup of coffee in the morning, then he'll grab a Monster on the way to work, and then like, get a little pick me up in the afternoon by down in a Red Bull or two or whatever. I don't know exactly. And I thought it was actually kind of funny because nobody had told him. Like, if someone doesn't tell you, this is really bad for you and you need to protect the asset and take care of yourself. Yeah. Like, there's going to actually, right now you're young, you're active, you'll probably be all right. But in the long term, there's some serious cost coming there. Maybe we're getting a little off track, but my point being, you know, actually, like, maybe people just, you know, it might not hurt to actually say, hey, like, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that. And it was like, wow, thanks for telling me. It was kind of like this. Nobody ever told me that, you know, and it was like, well, now, you know, 600 milligrams of caffeine, death. Don't do it. All right. Well, we should keep moving on here. I'm going to mention the one you'd already mentioned this, but I'll read it anyways. The 90% rule.
Yes. My favorite.
This is really, really good. And again, if you're in that phase, if you're still trying to figure out what to do, try a bunch of stuff. Yes. But as you evaluate an option, think about the single most important criteria for that decision, and then simply give the option a score between 0 and 100. If you rate it lower than 90%, then automatically change the rating to 0 and simply reject it. I love that. This way you avoid getting caught up in indecision, or worse, getting stuck with a bunch of 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the worst. Mm-hmm. Think about how you'll feel if you scored a 65 on some test. Would you deliberately choose to feel that way about an important choice in your life?
Yeah.
Oh,
that hits pretty
man.
Deep. That's a good one.
I know some people that, you know, it does feel like they're stuck with a bunch of 65s because they committed to it.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, I shouldn't have. Yeah, but now you're committed, you know, and you have to see it through. Oh, I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I'm doing that right now sometimes. Actually, like, some days I'm just.
I think everybody's doing it a little bit.
Man, like, it's like, why did I do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got any of those in your life right now?
I have a few, yeah, that I'm working on. Yeah, so we'll maybe talk about this on another episode, but I'm leaving to go to Mexico for 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks to study Spanish. And while I'm there, that's going to be like my detox, basically. Like, no work is coming with me, no nothing. So I'm just like, I'm excited to come back and get a fresh perspective on everything and be like, okay, cutting you. Because I'm going to do some pretty dramatic cuts when I get back, I'm pretty sure. So yeah.
So I did this with physical stuff actually.
Oh, nice.
I started going around like camera gear and stuff. I'm like, do I use that? Oh, I don't. And I just started selling like boatloads of stuff. Dude, talk about making bank. Like, I have just stuff just laying around the house that I'm like, hey, this is getting in the way. I don't need it. And you sell it. And you're like, I got money now. Like, I just started making money on stuff, you know? So that rule can be super helpful, even like, in a very practical way like that. Mm-hmm. Do I need all that food in my fridge? Like, what's the top 10% of that really good food, and just get rid of all the little Debbies. So I did. I went through the pantry and just started throwing stuff out because, like, that's not good for me. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Yeah. You know, wow, it was amazing. Actually, mm-hmm. felt like awesome. Go through the closet. Yeah, I haven't wore that shirt in 4 years, you know, because, you know, Joey gave it to me and I don't want to offend him. No, sorry, Joey. Someone gave it to me and I don't want to offend him or whatever. Actually, I don't think that's what happened. Either way. And then you just get rid of it because it's like, I don't really need that in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is that's more physical goods, but you can do mm-hmm. that. For anything. I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
So that was how to discern. So you can discern all day long, but part number three, see,
yes.
is about elimination.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it starts getting really interesting.
Where I am currently at in the reading process.
This is really, really, this is where it starts getting really painful. Okay.
Yeah.
Because eliminate section, the subtitle is how can we cut out the trivial many? Mm-hmm. So we've figured out what essentialism is. We've discerned what the vital, most important things are. Now, how do we get rid of all the trivial many, all those things blocking out our lives?
Mm-hmm. So are we going to jump into this or do we want to make this the next episode? Because we're at 30 minutes.
So what do you think, dear listener? Should we continue on or should we? No, I think we should probably cut here. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
So to quick recap, though, I think it's there was a couple of things here. I think that's really important, though, is that protect the asset yeah. idea. Like, take care of yourself, man. Like, mm-hmm. Joe Rogan says somewhere, like, take care of the meat sack or whatever. Like, take care, which I think is kind of a dumb way of saying it. But his point was, like, take care of your body. Like, you know, it's mm-hmm. probably a good idea to be, you know, in reasonable good condition and eat fairly good and sleep yep. well and take
cold
care of yourself.
Showers and ice baths, you know, stuff like that.
Ice baths, dude. Dude, okay.
I did one this morning, fun fact. It's like 40 degrees when I walked outside. And then it was about 40 degree water.
Okay, so.
And it was windy.
Here's the thing. Okay, so ice bath. This is just going to go. Diversion.
Drop this mic.
So I was camping in West Virginia, and there was this little river, you know, flowing, and it was really cold. And I was trying to convince everybody to do an ice bath with it. Nobody would do it.
Man.
I was like, man.
They need to hang around us more, getting more influenced.
Yeah, I tell you what. So they were like, no. And so I was like, oh, fine. I guess I won't either. So I didn't do it. I should have jumped in. We were going to go at about 2 o'clock in the morning, just jump in. It'd be amazing. Anyway,
that would wake you up.
Oh, dude. So yeah, take care of yourself. Take the time, as we said at the beginning, to escape, become unavailable
mm-hmm.
with a notebook, go hike up into the mountains or something, grab a notebook, pen and paper, and start writing down what is the most important thing for me right now?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that really matter? And we've been saying we'll do an episode on this at some point, but the concept of core values, like
mm-hmm.
what are your core values in life? Where are you trying to go? And take a hard look at that. And this isn't really fun to do because every yeah. time I do it, I start to say, oh, ooh, I'm spending time or money or whatever on this thing. And I really shouldn't be doing that. And it's kind of painful.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do it, you're like, so glad you did.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did, you know, again, very simple stuff, but I just started examining, you know, all my financial transactions, like especially monthly bills, like subscriptions and whatever. And suddenly I'm like, oh, this is painful. Mm-hmm. I have all this stuff that isn't important. That I'm paying for,
yeah,
you know, credit card fees or whatever, and eliminate all that stuff. And that can be kind of painful
yeah.
to go through that process. But that's what we're saying. Take care of yourself. Take some time to escape. Really focus on the important things and write it down. And, you know, especially remembering our highest priority is to protect our ability to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that. Remember the 90% rule. If it's below 90%, reject it and focus on the most important things. So, yeah, I think that's it for this part. Yeah, you wanna close this out, unless or add whatever you want.
Yeah, I just echo what you said. Protect the asset and trade offs. Yeah, like there's different ways of doing that. We gave you a few different tools and things to think about with all of that, but. A lot of that's what it comes back to. A lot of it is just choosing the best of the options. Like, mm-hmm. and it's not always choosing between like this option and this option. It's choosing between this option and these 300 options. You know, it's like you have to get really good at it. It's a really valuable skill. So yeah, that's the only thing I would add. But yeah, we're going to end this episode here and jump right into the next one. So it'll hopefully pick right up where we left off. So we'll see you in the next one. Feel free to leave us a review and a comment. Send us an email. We love hearing from you guys. Hit us up on Twitter.
Wait, X.
X.
It's not called Twitter anymore.
Such a stupid dumb
name, man.
Anyway,
hit us up on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Yeah, come on, Elon.
You can follow us on our websites and our YouTube channels. We talked about caffeine in this episode. If you do want a very like laid out, clear view of what that's like, I made a video on that, breaking it all down and how your body actually functions with it and what happens and everything. It's very interesting. I learned a lot from it, so you might find that interesting.
Well, we did a whole podcast on that. Your caffeine detox.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Where you went blind.
Well, almost.
I mean, it was awesome. It was crazy. Not awesome. It was a wild episode. Actually, I was checking the analytics this morning. It's one of our most listened to episodes.
Dude.
Yeah. Nice.
I feel like I'm impacting people.
You are. Cut out the caffeine, guys. No more Red Bulls or Monsters, man. Them things are terrible for you. Anyway.
So anyway, we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening and watching.